It's a great day to be in church. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you for just a little bit and share some things that have helped me in my own personal life, and I believe that they will help you as well. But how many of you know in Oklahoma, we have something called storm season, right? For those of you who just moved to Oklahoma, well, you just wait till the spring and you'll find all about storm season, right? So we have a lot of storms around here, tornadoes, thunder, lightning. And you know what? I don't really love storm season and all the tornadoes, mainly because they always seem to happen like at 1 a.m., you know? And I just want to be able to go to sleep and not be concerned about if I'm going to hear the tornado siren or not. But you know, when I was a little girl growing up in Oklahoma, and I think this is why I don't like storms, it's like PTSD, you know, be sound asleep, and you know, it's the middle of the night. And the worst thing, I'm sure that my mother was trying to be as calm as she possibly could, but that didn't quite translate through. She would say, "Denise, wake up, wake up, wake up, there's a tornado!" Just like that, okay? Well, that, you know what? That's not a great way to get waken up out of sleep when you're, you know, 9 years old, 10 years old. And so I'd wake up and we'd run down to, we had this closet and, you know, there'd be pillows and blankets in there and we'd have to stay in there until the storm passed. Back then, they didn't have these awesome tornado shelters that they do now. You know, we just had closets under the stairs. But you know, like my heart would be racing and I'm like, is the tornado going to hit our house? Like, what's going to happen? You know, I was so fearful and so afraid because I wasn't sure what the outcome was going to be. Was this going to be the time that the tornado blew the house away, or was it going to be the time where, you know, it went a different direction? And so, you know, storms, a lot of times the reason we don't like, you know, storms is because we don't know the outcome, right? It's kind of like in our personal life. I don't really love storms in my personal life either. You know, storms are times and situations where the outcome is unknown. You're not sure what's going to happen. You can't control it. I like to control things. Any other control freaks out there with me, right? You know, I like predictability. I like routine. I like things to be the same. But, you know, in life, things happen that are out of our control, and we go through sometimes a storm season. And I remember several years ago when the Lord taught me this lesson, I was going through one of those storm seasons in my personal life. You know, one of my really dear friends was diagnosed with cancer. And it was just like devastating to me because, you know, she actually worked for me and, you know, we saw each other every day and we were really close friends. And I was so devastated. I'm like, God, like, why her? Like, she works at the church. She, you know, volunteers with the kids. And like, she's like the best Christian. Like, I don't understand why she's having to go through this storm. And then a few months later, there was a situation in my life, and it was totally out of my control. It's something that I was going through personally, but it had to do with another person who was making some decisions that was greatly impacting my life, but I had no control over it. But it left me on an emotional roller coaster of just crying out to God, saying, God, why? Why is all this stuff happening? Why am I going through all these storms? And I just cried out to the Lord, why, God, why? Anybody ever been there where you just say, God, why? You know, I'm a very logical person, and a lot of times I just want to know why this is happening. But I remember one time, very particularly, I was actually cleaning the bathroom. I was on my hands and knees cleaning this toilet. And I was just praying and crying out to God and saying, God, like, I don't understand. Like, you're not fixing this. Please fix this. Why is this happening? And he stopped me in my tracks. And he said, Denise, you're asking the wrong question. Instead of asking why this is happening, you need to ask who is with you in the storm. So today I want to talk to you about who is in the storm. Who is in the storm? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Who is in the storm? I want to go to a verse of scripture where the disciples were in a storm, and we're going to find out who was with them. Let's go turn over to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35. We're going to read this in the NLT. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They ask each other. Even the winds and waves obey him. Here's what I'm here to tell you today is we all face storms. We all face storms. I mean, look at this. In Mark chapter 4, the disciples were in the boat with Jesus. Jesus was with them in a boat. And what happened? A storm came up. You know, that tells us that even though we are right in the middle of the will of God, storms will still come up. We all face them. You know, I like to say there's two times in your life when you're gonna face problems and storms. When you're in the will of God and when you're out of the will of God. It doesn't matter. You're going to face storms in life. You know, over in John 16:33, Jesus talks about this. I'm reading in the NLT. Jesus says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. See, we shouldn't be surprised when there's storms in our life and we're going through difficulties, because Jesus told us that we would. But I don't know about you, but with me, when I face a storm, it still kind of surprises me. You know, and I have to go back to this John 16:33 and say, you know what? Not surprised. Jesus said this was going to happen, right? But whenever we face storms, it brings about a lot of emotions. Storms will bring about a lot of emotions. I mean, you might feel like you're on this emotional roller coaster, you know, feeling really, really sad and depressed or really angry. And then, you know, you're like, okay, I'm okay 1 minute. And then you're depressed the next. You know, that shouldn't shock us. It's normal. I mean, look what we just read with the disciples, right? They were with Jesus. Physically, Jesus was there with them. They could touch Jesus. And when a storm came up, what did they do? They had a lot of emotions, right? It says they were yelling at Jesus, wake up, don't you care? You know, they were flipping out. You know, we're gonna die. They were all in their feels, right? But here's the thing. If we know that storms are going to bring about a lot of emotions, we may have those emotions, but that doesn't mean that we have to stay caught up in them. Amen. Jesus said in John 16:33, yes, you're going to face trials, you're going to face storms, but take heart. Now, that's not something we go around saying very often. We don't go around saying, hey, take heart, you know? So when I don't know what something means, I find out, I look it up. And so I looked up this word, take heart, this phrase. And the Greek word for take heart is actually a word that says tharsheo, either one. I don't know. I don't really speak Greek. But tharsheo or tharsheo, it's a verb, which I think is very interesting. Do you remember back in English when you learned about the parts of speech and nouns and verbs? What is a verb? It's something that requires action, right? It requires somebody to do something. So this taking heart requires us to do something. And what does it mean? It means unflinching courage, a bold inner attitude, inner confidence that is spirit produced. So this take heart, it's not something that we can do in the natural, but it is spirit produced. It's an action that we need to take in the spiritual realm to make it through our storms. Amen? And so take heart. Jesus told us to take heart. We can be courageous. We can be bold. We can have unflinching courage because we are taking heart. We are taking action in the Spirit. And the reason that we can have this bold inner attitude is because Jesus is the who in our storm. Jesus is the who in our storm. And when we are going through a storm in life, Jesus will be who you need him to be. Jesus will be exactly who you need him to be. See, Jesus is all things, and he can be who you need him to be. You just have to call upon him and say, hey, Jesus, this is who I need you to be in the storm. And you name it. That's exactly what the disciples did, right? When they were feeling all the emotion in the storm, they ran to Jesus and they called out to him and said, save us, calm the storm. They told Jesus who they needed him to be in the storm. And the thing about it is Jesus being the who in your storm will be there every time and will never fail you. Amen? The Bible is full of who Jesus is and scriptures of who Jesus is and who you can call out for him to be in the middle of your storm. So we're just going to take a look today at maybe a few things that Jesus can be in your storm, but Jesus can be whoever you need him to be. But number one, Jesus is the calm in your storm. Amen. Jesus is the calm in your storm. Look at this in Mark 4:39. It says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. See, Jesus brings about calmness. He brings about peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Do you know that you have the Prince of Peace on the inside of you? And that's who he can be in your storm. He can be the calm in your storm. I love what it says in Philippians 4, verse 6. In the NLT, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. See, we need to talk to our Father God and tell him, hey, you know, I'm facing this storm and I'm concerned about this and I'm worried about this. And when you pour out your heart to your Father God, then he can be the calm in your storm. But there's a precursor. You have to tell God. You have to pray about everything. Because if you keep it all on the inside of you, all those things that you're thinking and that you're concerned about and all the things that you're seeing in the natural and all the what ifs and this could happen, when you keep all that bottled up inside of you, that's just going to cause you to be in turmoil. But when you talk to God and pray about it, it releases him and makes a pathway for his peace to flood your heart and flood your mind. And those worries are replaced with calm and peace in the storm. But we have to talk to him. We have to talk to him. But so many times in the middle of the storm, we just hide within ourselves. But we need to learn to tell him everything that's concerning us, everything that's bothering us, and that makes a pathway for his peace to guard your heart and your mind. Number two, who else can Jesus be in your storm? Jesus is the joy in your storm. Amen. Jesus is the joy in your storm. Now, you're not rejoicing because you're going through the storm. You're rejoicing in spite of the storm, because the storm is a temporary thing, but we know that there is a far greater eternal reward that we are going to possess one day. And these light and momentary afflictions and storms are just that, they're passing. So we can have joy knowing what is waiting ahead of us in the future. Let's look over at James verse 1. Of course, you can't talk about having joy in trials without going to James. James chapter 1, let's start in verse 2. I'm going to be reading in the NIV. It says, "Consider it pure joy." Oh, James, why you got to say that? "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You know what? That's so easy to read, so hard to do, right? But Jesus can be the joy in your storm. You know, we don't have to walk around sad and depressed and downcast or angry or wondering why. We can have joy right in the midst of the storm and have that positive outlook because we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is with us. Amen. And you know, oftentimes when you're going through a storm, your outlook will determine your outcome. You cannot be thinking and speaking words of doubt, words of anger, depression. Oh, this is the worst thing I've ever gone through. This is so horrible. What's that going to do? That is going to keep your mind and your heart looking at the problem. Looking at the problem. But we can have joy even in the midst of the storm. And did you know that joy is such a powerful thing? It's a powerful thing that we can choose. Over in Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, "A cheerful heart," or that could be translated, "a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." I mean, think about this. Joy is so powerful that it actually can be medicine in your body. Do you know that they have done studies, not in the spiritual world, but, you know, doctors have actually done studies just in the natural with terminally ill patients, and they had them actually watch the Three Stooges. Anybody ever seen the Three Stooges? I have, but if you're below a certain age, you probably have no idea what that is. But it's, you know, it's funny. It was just silly, stupid humor of these three guys doing funny things. But they would have these terminally ill patients watch the Three Stooges and laugh for a certain amount of hours per day. And then they had these other terminally ill patients not, okay? And they saw great, and they didn't give them any extra medicines or treatments. They saw great physical improvement in the ones that engaged in laughter and joy. Physical improvements than they did with those who did not. See, joy is powerful, and I think we underestimate joy. I think, you know, we read over here in James, you know, okay, consider it pure joy. And we just kind of toss it to the side like, oh, that's not necessary. Yeah, it's necessary because it is powerful and it can change things. It can change things. You know, there's a quote that I love. It says, life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's learning to dance in the rain. And you know, in this life, we're gonna face storms. And we don't need to wait for them to pass to have joy and to dance. We can dance right in the middle of the storm. Right in the middle of the storm. You know, but it's a choice. It is a daily choice. Joy is simply a choice. You know, when my husband and I, when our boys were growing up, you know, sometimes they would just be, just kind of down in the mully grubs, just, you know, sad, depressed, laying around on the couch. I'm so bored. I don't have anything to do. Life is just so bad, you know? And so, you know, as a parent, you try to say, you know, hey, your life is really good. Like, you know, you've got a bicycle to ride and you've got video games. Like, your life is not all that bad. You're trying to get them to see the positive, the joy, right? So my husband used to have this saying that he would tell them, and it really proves the point that joy is really an instantaneous decision. He would tell them, you know what? You're laying here all sad and down and depressed, but I guarantee you if the doorbell rang and you went and answered it and Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Steph Curry, because they love basketball, was on the other side of that door, I bet you would instantly be happy and excited and joyful. I bet you wouldn't say, oh, hey, Michael Jordan, how's it going? Come on in. My life really stinks right now. No, right? Joy is simply a decision. It's a choice that we make, and we decide, hey, I can be down and depressed, which, FYI, isn't going to help in the storm one single bit. Or you can choose to let Jesus be the joy in your storm and walk around with a joyful and a positive and life-filled words and thoughts. Amen. Jesus can be the joy in your storm. Number three, Jesus is your friend and comforter in your storm. Thank God for that. Jesus is your friend and comforter in your storm. I don't know how many times during storms I've called out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I just need you to comfort me. I need you to be my comforter in this storm. Over in Psalms 34:18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. You know, that always, when I read that scripture, when I'm going through the storm, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He gathers them and says, hey, it's okay, right? Over in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, I'm going to read this in the NLT. It says, all praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy, I love this, and the God of endless comfort. Endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in a painful trial. God is the best comforter. He's the best comforter. And he is always close to those who are hurting. Now, how does God comfort us? Because you're like, well, Denise, here's the thing, you know, God can't like snuggle with me on the couch. He's not here in physical human form, you know. No, God comforts us through bringing along others to bring us, to be the hands and the feet of God. You know, I remember one time I had gone for a medical test and I was awaiting the results. And, you know, it was one of those ones where, like, you always have your phone by you because it was a pretty big medical test and I didn't want to miss the call, right? And so I was actually at the pediatrician's office getting a checkup with one of my sons, and we had been called back in the room, but then, you know, you're just waiting for, you know, the nurse and the doctor to come in. And so we're waiting, and I felt my phone vibrating, so I looked at it, and it was my doctor's office, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and answer this, you know. And it was the doctor on the phone, and he gave me a bad report. It wasn't what I was believing for. It wasn't what I wanted to hear, but it was a bad report that was going to, you know, that, and they needed to find out exactly what this is, and it was going to be a lot of testing and just, ugh. And I was so kind of shaken with emotions because all of a sudden now I was going to be going through this storm. And, you know, like we talked about, storms, they bring about a lot of emotions. And immediately I was scared and thoughts were racing through my mind. And I didn't even have time to process or pray. And the door opened and it was the nurse that was coming in, you know, to take my son's blood pressure and all that. And I was doing my best to keep it together, but she saw a little tear slip from my eye. And she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Well, to be quite honest, I just got, you know, a call from my doctor and I got a, you know, a bad report from a test." And she said, "Well, do you mind if I ask what it is?" And so I told her. And so she, you know, being a nurse, you know, she understood more medical terms. And so she kind of like talked me through the process of what I would be going through. And then she said, "You know, I don't know if you know Jesus or not." And she said, "But, you know, he's a healer and he can take you through this." And you know what? She was what? Being a comforter, being God's hands and feet, just like the scripture said. And of course I smiled and quickly got myself together and was like, "Well, actually I'm a minister, so yeah." But hey, you know, when we go through storms, it brings about emotion for a minute. And sometimes we need others to come alongside and remind us, like, hey, it's going to be okay, right? So when you're going through a storm and people come along to comfort you and, "Can I pray for you?" and, "Hey, you know, can I bring you a meal?" that type of thing, don't reject it. Don't reject it. That's God's way of being a comforter to you. So don't reject that and say, "Oh, no, I'm fine by myself. I'm Superman. I'm Superwoman. I can handle it." No. Accept that. That's God's way of being there and holding you close and showing care. And I'll tell you what, on the flip side of that, never miss an opportunity to be God's comfort to somebody. If God puts it on your heart to, you know, text a person or call a person, give an encouraging word or, you know, bring a meal. And can I tell you something? When people are going through something, you know, like surgeries or hospitalizations or something, what do? We always say like, "Hey, is there anything I can do for you?" Don't ask that question. Because you're going to, now you may ask that question to some people and they may say, "Yeah, here's my to-do list, go do it," right? But big majority of the time, people don't want to put you out, right? So they say, "Oh, no, no, I'm fine," even though they're really not. Instead of asking, just do it. Just send that DoorDash and have a meal delivered. You know, go over and do their laundry or clean their house. Don't give them an option. Just say, "Hey, I'm coming over to clean your house. What, you know, tell me a good time, Monday at 9 a.m. Is that good?" And don't take no for an answer. You know, don't ask, but just do. Just do and be the hands and feet and be that comfort, just like it says. Amen. Who else can Jesus be in your storm? Jesus is the focus in your storm. He's the focus in your storm. I want to read over in Matthew 14 another account of a different storm that the disciples are in. And, you know, it's a theme. The disciples are always getting in storms with Jesus in a boat on the water, right? So just maybe God's trying to tell us something. But over in Matthew 14, let's start in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. See, when you're facing storms, it was waves, right? Brings about emotion. They cried out in fear, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage." That's also translated that tharseo, that take heart, that bold inner attitude that spirit produced that everything's going to be okay. "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" See, as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, the storm didn't bother him. Jesus didn't remove the storm. He just said, "Focus on me." And as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, it changed his storm. See, focus is a storm changer. Focus is a storm changer. And when Jesus is your focus in the storm, it changes the outcome. As long as Peter looked at Jesus, his outcome was that he was walking on the water. The minute Peter started looking at the storm and the circumstances, it changed his storm and he began to sink. Where you focus is a storm changer, so you need to focus on Jesus. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, I'm going to read this from the Passion. It just puts it in such a beautiful way. It says, "We look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into face perfection." I love that imagery. We focus away from the natural realm and we put our attention and expectation on Jesus. On Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 6:19, it says, "We have this hope." What is our hope? Jesus, the Savior. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." What is our soul? It's our mind, will, and emotions, right? And when we're going through a storm, we can focus on Jesus, and man, he anchors us in that storm. He anchors our mind and keeps it from running away with crazy thoughts. He anchors our emotions and keeps us steady. Amen. He anchors our will, knowing that this is momentary. This is a light affliction, that we are going through this. Where you focus is a game changer. So let him be the focus in your storm. Number 5, Jesus will be the voice in your storm. Jesus will be the voice in your storm. See, in Mark 4, when the disciples called out to Jesus and said, "Jesus, save us," what did he do? He spoke. Jesus will speak in your storm. We do not serve a silent Savior. Praise God. The Bible is full of Jesus speaking things to our storm. And when you're going through a storm, you need to go to His Word. You need to go and find those scriptures that will carry you through the storm. Whatever your storm is it physical? Is it financial? Is it emotional? What is it? What is your storm? You need to go and find out, what does God say? What does Jesus say? And you need to quote the things that He is saying about your storm and let Him speak. See, the Bible, it's not just an ancient book. It's living. It's powerful. When you speak the word, when you speak what Jesus says, it has the ability to change the outcome of your storm. Psalms 118 says, we shall live and not die. Psalms 91 says, with long life will I satisfy you. Isaiah 53:5 says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Philippians 4 says, my God shall supply all my needs. And 2 Timothy says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a love and a power and a sound mind. See, Jesus will speak in your storm, but you are the mouthpiece to speak it. Amen. He is not silent. And you have to keep saying what Jesus says and saying what Jesus says till your storm turns around. The last thing, not the only thing, but the last thing that we're going to talk about today is Jesus is the victory in your storm. Jesus is the victory in your storm. Jesus can be whoever you need Him to be in the storm, but let me tell you what, He's always the victory in your storm. Always. I love this. In Mark 4, which we started reading at the very beginning, what is the first verse that we read? It says, "An evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.'" Now, you know why that's significant? Jesus didn't say, hey, we're going to get to the middle of the lake and we're going to drown. He said from the very beginning, hey, disciples, listen to me. We're going to get in this boat and we are going across to the other side. That's why Jesus said later on in that verse of scripture, He said, what's wrong with you? Why are you still doubting? Jesus said from the very beginning, knowing that they were going to go through the storm. But see, Jesus knows at the very beginning of your storm that you're going to have victory through it. You are going to the other side. So why panic? Why flip out in the middle of it? Because Jesus is the victory. Before you even start your storm, you already have the victory. So there is no reason to be concerned. There's no reason to be depressed. There's no reason to be angry. There's no reason to question why, because you already have the victory at the very beginning of it, before it even starts. And we can be confident in that. Romans 8:37 in the Passion says, yet even in the midst of all these things, what? We triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and His demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. But I love that it says, hey, in the midst of all these things, not that I'm going to remove these things and then you're victorious and more than a conqueror. No, in the very midst of all the situations, in the very midst of the storm and the trial and the wind and the wave and the thunder and the lightning, you are victorious and are more than a conqueror in the middle of it. And the reason that we don't have to ask, hey, why is this happening? Why? We can just focus on the who that is in our storm with us, because the who, Jesus, that is in the storm with us has given us the victory, and He will be everything that you need Him to be throughout the entire storm. All you have to do is call out to Him. See, you're going to have the victory in the storm, but how you get to the victory and how hard it is depends on you. Jesus has done everything he's going to do for you. It's in his word. It is in his word, but it is up to us. It's our choice to say, hey, through this storm, are we going to know that the provider, the healer, the comforter, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, the Counselor, the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name that is above all names is with me in this storm? Are we going to choose to ignore that? See, how we go through the storm is up to us. And Jesus is the who in our storm. And he will be whoever you need him to be. All you have to do is call out to him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, that despite anything that we go through, that we have the victory, that we are victorious, that you have caused us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you that during the very midst of the storm, that you are right there with us. And we can call out to you and you will be whoever we need. And you will give us peace and calm and joy right in the middle of the storm. Thank you, God, that you never leave us and you never forsake us, and you are always right there with us. Right now, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're going through a storm in your life, whatever it is, and you've been worrying and fearful and depressed about it, I want you right now, just to tell Jesus who you need him to be right now in the middle of this storm. Just tell him who you need him to be. And I just feel like that there's somebody that's watching online, that you're going through a massive, massive, heart-wrenching storm. But I want to tell you, Jesus is speaking to you right now, and he said it's going to be okay. I am going to bring you through this storm, and you are going to have great victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just take a minute, and Anthony's just going to sing something. And if you're going through a storm, I just want you to call out to Jesus and tell him who you need him to be in the storm.
Oh, peace. Oh, peace. Thank you for
will be whoever you need him to be, anytime, anywhere. Amen. Well, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I never like to end a service without giving people the opportunity to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you say, man, this Jesus, who he is, sounds really awesome, and I need him in my life. And I've never asked Jesus to come and cleanse me and forgive me for my sins, but I want to make Jesus, and I want to invite Jesus to be the Lord of my life so that he can walk with me on a daily basis. If that's you and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is the best decision that you will ever make. God loved you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross and take every sin that you were ever going to commit. And he died, and he went to hell for 3 days, and he rose again, and he sits with God right now. And he did all that so that you could have a way to have a relationship with God, and you can make heaven and miss hell. If that's you and you want to change your destiny from hell to heaven, I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Anybody in this room? Ushers, help me look. Is there anybody in this room? Anybody in this room? Let me give another invitation. Maybe you once knew the Lord, but you turned your back. You've walked away. You've been living life on your own terms and in your own way, ignoring everything that Jesus has done for you and ignoring all the Bible. And today you say, you know what? I'm done doing it my way. I want to do it God's way. I want to come back to home, come back to Jesus, and have a relationship with him again. If that's you, I invite you to lift your hand. I invite you to lift your hand. Anybody on that invitation? One final invitation. There's a subsequent gift to being saved, and that is the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is available to every believer. It gives you such power. It gives you such boldness. And it gives you a prayer language to communicate to our Heavenly Father in perfect union with his will. And if you have never received the Holy Spirit with the infilling of tongues, and you want to today, you say, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues. I want to have that power and that fire and that powerful prayer language. I invite you, lift your hand, and I believe that you will speak in tongues today and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody on that invitation? I see that hand over there. Praise God. You know, this is why we do this. Praise God, right over here. I see that hand. We don't want to rush through this. On any invitation, salvation, rededication, infilling of the Holy Spirit, just lift your hand. Believers, you should be praying in the Holy Spirit. This, thank you, I see that hand. This is why we do this. This is why we come to church. It's right here for this moment. Thank you. I want to invite you to do something. I know it might be a little overwhelming, but listen, you will never regret this. I invite you, if you raised your hand, you should have raised your hand. You wanted to raise your hand. Your heart was pounding, and you know that you should have raised your hand. I want you to get out of your seat right now. I want you to come down front and meet me. I'm going to pray with you, and then we have some prayer workers that are going to pray with you, and you're going to get what you came for today. Don't be afraid. I know there's a lot of people here. It's a scary step to make, but I promise you it will be the best decision that you ever made, and your life will radically change. Radically change. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Don't miss this opportunity. You should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand. Come on down. Jesus is here for you. He's waiting, arms wide open, to give you all the good gifts that he has for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Come on down. Guys, don't miss this opportunity. It's life-changing. best thing you've ever done. This walk will be the best thing you've ever done. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Guys, I'm so excited for y'all. Thanks for being so brave, so bold coming down here. Listen, your life's going to change. It is never going to be the same. Whether you came to get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues or salvation or rededication. And it's super simple. All three of those gifts are for every single person, right? We can have a relationship with Jesus, and he wants every believer to speak in tongues. All you got to do is accept it. So I have these three books here. If I said, hey, I'm going to give these to you, how would you get them? How would you get them? How are you going to get these? You're going to reach out and take them. Reach out and take them. They're yours. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do is reach out and take what God is saying. Hey, I'm giving this to you freely. I want you to have it. But you have to do something as well. You have to reach out and take it. Now, don't worry about it. All of y'all are going to get all three of those books in just a second, so you didn't miss out, okay? But I'm going to pray for you here. And then we have Pastor Greg over here. He's one of our staff pastors. And he's going to take you to our prayer room. There's some men and women back there. They're just going to pray with you, because I know some of you came down for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They're going to pray with you individually. And every single one of you is going to get what you came for. But let me pray for you first. Heavenly Father, we just pray for each of these individuals. Thank you, Father, for their courage and their boldness to make this step, Father. And we just ask you right now, whatever they came for, Father, salvation, rededication, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that you will meet them right where they are at, and they will receive exactly what they came down here to receive. And their life will be changed and never be the same. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you just turn and just go with Pastor Greg for just a few minutes? They won't keep you long, just a few minutes, but they want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, that's what it's all about right there. Everybody just worship the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father, for your presence, for moving in these individuals' lives, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you, Father, for ministering to them in a special way today. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, God's good. Amen. We serve an awesome God, and I love it when people make a decision. Just, I'm so excited for them. Their life is never going to be the same. Amen. This is why we do what we do. It's the Great Commission. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all, it has been such a fun day. Thank you, guys. And you know, next time you're going through the storm, I hope you remember who is in your storm with you, and that's Jesus, and he will be everything you need him to be. Amen. Well, hey, first-time visitors, the Connection team members right now are in the aisle. They're going to grab you and take you to the Connection Center super quick just to give you a gift. Pastoral staff, if you'll go ahead and go to the doors. If you want to shake one of our hands, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are going the west door. Myself and Dawn are going to the east door. Pastor Bill and Tony are going to the south. And Pastor Rob and Sarah are going to the north. Come by, say hi to us tonight, 6 p.m. Be right back here. We love you. God bless you guys.